Ho, 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 it's the Out's Christmas Talk Show with Simon Minty and Kate Monaghan.
Now, Kate, I know you love this time of year.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. Oh,
we have been struggling to contain you. Your excitement. You're worse than a child waiting for Santa.
I basically am a child waiting for Santa.
Okay.
That is exactly what I am.
Didn't even get to the end of my sentence. You know, the wait is over. It's here. It's the Out's Christmas Special Talk Show Podcast.
Woohoo!
Now, I can see I might have to be the steady hand on the tiller for this one. And while we have a couple of real children-type young people here with us, I think I know who's going to be the most unruly child.
Yeah. I just want presents and mince pies and Christmas dinner. I just can't help myself.
It is great.
Yes, it is. Because we're hosting our very own Ouch Christmas dinner. Well, the studio version, that is. And we've invited a few guests to come over, share the day and some food and do all the things that people do over Christmas, like eat and open presents and pull crackers and play games.
Oh, shut the door.
Oh, it's our first guest. Open the door, Simon.
OK, I'm opening it. I'm opening it. It's quite stiff, very heavy. Who put the handle this high?
It's Chelsea J. How are you?
I'm feeling very excited about Christmas ears.
Good. Now, you joined us earlier in the year on the talk show, and we loved you so much that we thought we'd give ourselves a little present and have you back again. Now, for those of you who didn't hear that episode, A, why didn't you hear it? And B, if you didn't hear it, go back and download it and listen to it. Tell us a little bit about you.
I have basically campaigned for more disabled people to be in fashion and media, fashion mostly, just to be really embraced, employed and just treated like that horrible word, normal. And yeah, that's what I've been doing. I get very busy doing it and I absolutely love it.
And you are famous for a particular photograph that shows off one particular part of your body.
I did a little search before the show.
Little cheeky search.
Apparently it is a cheeky search, but you know what? I couldn't actually find it. So
It was my display picture on my Twitter, but I thought where I'm doing quite a lot with government at the moment, I need to perhaps behave myself. Certainly not. You know, I'm still me. I'm not going to change for anybody. I'm very cheeky.
Well, you've put your cheeks away.
Yeah, literally loved the way you went with that.
And your bottom is covered. But you are a wheelchair user. What's your disability?
I have POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. It's very apparent when every time I stand, I go to pass out. So I stay seated just really for convenience and to, you know, not keep hurting myself.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Would you like a mince pie?
I would love one of the nice, cheeky, vegan-friendly mince pies.
Gluten-free.
Oh, my.
Yep. Gluten-free, dairy-free, everything
I can't
free.
Even handle this moment.
Okay,
I'm so excited.
Oh!
Oh, hello. Here's our next guest. In line with the BBC cuts, we're getting two for the price of one. Hello, Reuben. Hi there, Summer.
Hi.
Hey up, lad.
How are you two? Lovely to see you. Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
You getting excited?
Yeah.
I'm liking your clothes. This is not good for the podcast, but you're very Christmassy.
Thanks.
Summer, tell me about your jumper.
It's very elfy. Says the elf made me do it.
And Rubes, what are you wearing today?
Basically, I'm wearing a cool elf. That means someone can blame it on me because I'm an elf.
You are an elf, it's very true. Reuben, you are a star of The Dumping Ground on CBBC. Now, who do you play on The Dumping Ground?
I play Finn McLean and Anna's got ginger hair, but I haven't got it.
And what kind of person is Finn? Is he a good person or bad person?
Basically, he's actually in the middle.
He's in the middle. Is he sometimes naughty?
No, he's always good, and then sometimes weird.
So, Reuben, does Finn have Down syndrome like you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's it like playing somebody with Down syndrome?
Oh, it's actually fun, enjoyable and cool.
And how do you get ginger hair, then? What do they do?
It's got these animations to... it can do my clothes, it can do my hair, because this software's called Scratch.
Okay.
But it's actually really good.
That sounds kind of cool. So they can make my hair ginger as well?
Slightly.
And Summer, what is your disability?
I've got hemiplegia.
And what does that mean?
It's Greek for, like, half paralysed. So my hemiplegia affects my right side, which makes my right side quite weak. And sometimes I can be in pain all the time. And sometimes I can be like a normal, everyday 12-year-old girl. It's my legs and it's my leg and my arm. So it affects me in, like, loads of ways. Like, sometimes I can't move in the morning, so it takes me about 10, 20 minutes to actually wake up.
Oh, wow, OK. Now, you're kind of into broadcasting, a little bit of acting and stuff, and what are your future plans? What would you like to do?
I want to work in the BBC studios.
Like today.
Yeah.
Watch out for your jobs, guys.
I know, right?
Rising star.
Yeah, Summer's not very good. Let's get rid of her, guys. Don't want her around if she's going to take my job. But I will offer you a mince pie. Would anyone like a mince pie?
I will.
Yeah? Okay, right, hold on
one
second.
Pass them around and I'll get the door.
Hello, it must be Laura. Laura James, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, Laura, like everybody around this table, you've had a pretty eventful year. Can you tell us what's been going on with you this year?
So I was diagnosed, interestingly, with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome in March. And
all the best people have it.
And also POTS.
Oh, OK.
Yes, so very potsy. And also mast cell activation disorder.
Oh, I don't know what that one.
Which is quite funky and weird. It just kind of means that you kind of behave in allergic fashion to kind of pretty much everything.
Right.
But I didn't really feel that that was the end of the story. Mm. And when I was in hospital having my POTS tests, I came across a nurse who suggested that I might be autistic. And then very soon after that, I was diagnosed with autism. So, yeah, it's kind of quite a full set of things to happen over a period of a couple of months.
And how did you get diagnosed with autism when you were in hospital for something very different? I mean, it's quite late to be diagnosed with autism.
Yes, I am quite old.
That's not what I meant.
Actually, it's really quite common. And one of the things that I'm campaigning about is about women and girls with autism, because it is quite common for women to be diagnosed very late because we are quite different to boys in the way we present. But I went and had my POTS tests, which involved being strapped to a table and kind of tilted. Which is like some kind of torture. It's hideous.
What is POTS? What does it stand for?
Postural static tachycardia. So basically it means when you stand
up, Chelsea's got.
Your heart rate goes up. And for some people that means that you completely pass out immediately. For other people it's just incredibly uncomfortable. And so I had all these horrible tests where they don't allow you to eat for a number of hours. It was the hottest day of the year. It was in London. The air conditioning wasn't working in the hospital. They said that as soon as I got to my room, I'd have a tuna sandwich. And I was literally starving. And I'm not very good when I don't eat. And I got up there. The tuna sandwich wasn't there. The air conditioning was broken. The room wasn't where I thought it was going to be. And everything just, and it was very bright and very loud. And everything just overwhelmed me. And I had a bit of a meltdown. And in the past, when I've had meltdowns in a hospital situation, I think the nurses have kind of rolled their eyes and thought I was stuck up and spoilt brat and not very nice. But this nurse just kind of sat on my bed and said something along the lines of, God, I'm really sorry, your sandwich should have been here. We have a lot of autistic people that come through and we understand that it's difficult when things that you're expecting don't happen. And I was just a bit like, no, I have POTS. And then she sort of obviously felt a bit embarrassed that she just presumed that that was the case. And then I went away, did some research, and it became obvious that that was the case.
I hear it more and more in general speech where people go, oh, they're on the spectrum. They throw it out and use it for lots of people if a piece of behaviour may be different or something like that. So the fact that the nurse said it is almost, but this was a serious line and was followed up. How does it feel to have a diagnosis? Because part of me sort of said, but you're still who you are, and you are the same as you were before and post-diagnosis. Or has it made a difference? Does it feel different?
It feels very, very different. I think that one of the things that often happens with EDS and POTS, particularly in women, is that you're written off as being a bit hysterical until you get your diagnosis. I think that doctors and people around you tend to think that you're kind of making a fuss about nothing. And I think the same is true of autism. I think people think that you're behaving in a slightly strange way or you're being difficult. And having a diagnosis is a bit like a vindication. To me, it means that, first of all, I always knew that there was something that I didn't understand about myself and that I wanted to find out. So having found out every single bit of the puzzle is amazing. And also, it makes me feel like I'm not kind of failing as a normal person. I feel like I'm kind of massively succeeding under the circumstances.
You're around the same age as me, sort of mid-40s, and that's quite major to get it at that point, isn't it?
It is quite major, and I wish for many reasons I had found out earlier. But on the other hand, just knowing now is, it just feels like a huge gift, actually, because I just never felt quite like I knew myself, which sounds very hippie, but it's true. I just didn't feel like I knew myself. I felt that there was something there that I just didn't understand about myself. And so now that I understand it all, it's amazing.
Mm. We're glad you found yourself. We're glad you found our Christmas party.
I'm glad you found our Christmas party, indeed.
So am I.
Especially because now it's time for the hats. Who likes a Christmas hat?
I live for Christmas hats.
We have some really cool Santa hats for everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, so cool.
I had one of these last year.
Yeah.
But, Simon, I have a very special hat for you. This has got a little bell on it.
Yeah,
and
I
you know
love
how I always call you my little elf?
No, I don't. Because I don't think we'd be such friends if you did.
Oh, well, I got you a special little elf's hat.
Oh, I'm touched.
Is that awkward? Because you are, you know, a person of short stature. Is it awkward to have an elf's hat for you?
It is a bit now that you're asking me about
now
it.
Now that I've made it awkward.
I've got a hat for you, which...
Oh, wow.
I don't quite know what this... I was handed this beforehand, and it's got a place to put your head through. It's bright green. Oh, you're a Christmas tree.
Let me just put my hat on.
Oh, it's too small. I can't put it on, Kate.
Look at this. What do you think, guys?
Good luck.
It's another level right there.
Nothing like forcing fun, is there?
Forcing fun? This is fun.
I'm turning into a Grinch now.
Yeah, you are, exactly. Guys, what happens at your Christmas dinners? Reuben, do you pull crackers at your Christmas dinner?
We have two Christmas dinners. First thing is my drama club. It's called the Oak Club. And it's all educational.
Yeah.
So it's basically for Down syndrome kids. And then for my second one...
Yeah.
It's just my fantastic family, my mum and dad, is so brilliant at it.
Are you trying to get a very big Christmas present this year? Is that what I'm
spotting? Yeah, I will.
He's a man with a plan over here, isn't he?
He really is. So now we've got our hats on, I think it's time to remind our listeners that you can tell us what goes on in your house during your festive meal by tweeting us at BBC Ouch, finding us on Facebook, or for something different, you could always give us the gift of rating us on whatever podcast distribution service you fancy. So now I reckon we should pull a cracker.
Crackers.
Summer,
yeah.
Why don't you pull your cracker with Mr. Reuben over here?
Do you also, my family, you have to all cross arms and...
No.
Okay.
None of that.
We're not getting complicated.
Okay. Nothing complicated, because I'll tell you for why, Simon. These aren't just any crackers. Oh. These are Ouch Podcast crackers. And therefore, within the Ouch Podcast crackers, there are disability-related trivia questions in there.
It is weird for me to listen you say that and remind me of an advert, but also the fact that you are looking like a Christmas tree with your face poking out. quite bizarre. All right, Christmas crackers.
I think it's a great look. So, Summer and Rubes, off you go.
Yay! Banter!
Let's hear your question.
Which president of the United States had a disability that was hidden from the public eye?
It's like a quiz. We've got a quiz going.
Oh, who can answer this one?
I've got an idea.
I have, but I have a really funny feeling it's at Essex time, where my Essex brain is telling me a very ridiculous answer.
I mean, there's only one way to find out whether or not you're going to be right or wrong.
Go on, then.
Kennedy.
Oh,
JFK over here.
Oh, is it Lincoln?
No more Christmas plans for Chelsea, I think. joking.
Yeah, where is it? I was about to ask you.
Johnson? I don't think it is. Well, Reuben, any ideas? Can you name us a US president?
David Cameron.
Oh, close. So close.
He wishes he was.
Simon, have you got an answer?
I believe there was two, actually.
Ooh, controversial, two.
Oh, yeah,
JFK had a massive back condition. And
Summer is correct.
Roosevelt, it was post-polio, and used wheelchair and leg braces for quite a while. Are they the ones?
I believe that you are both correct.
Wow, well done, guys.
Simon being Christmas ball.
That was even a guess.
And I think it's time for Reuben to pull a cracker now as well. Reuben, do you want to have a go?
Yeah.
Why don't you pull your cracker with Simon?
Come on, then. Let's go for it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Yay! Oh, you got it. Well done.
There you go.
In which country are the 20 2020 Paralympic Games being held.
Obviously not Rio. We're talking the 2020 ones. That's not Rio, is it? No. Rio soon, right?
2016.
Yeah, Rio's next year. Wow. Come on then, Summer. You are bursting at the seams to answer this question.
I think it's Japan.
Very good.
Well done, you. Go, girl. I love it.
Summer knows her stuff. It is going to be in Tokyo in 2020.
I'd love to. Do you know there's cat cafes there?
Yes. Are there?
You literally go in a cafe and you are surrounded by cats. Living the dream, we're talking. The living
cats,
the dream.
I was reading up on them and the cats drink tea with you.
Yeah, like you can buy them. Wow. Like you can go in there and actually buy them like a little saucer of something or some food.
I mean, Simon's face right now, he is wishing he was in Tokyo to enjoy the cats.
I have actually been to Tokyo, but I didn't know about the cat cafes, so I'm going to have to go back, aren't I?
Well, I think it's time to have a little pause between courses. Mm-hmm, do you not think? I mean...
Yes, it's been a feast.
It has been a feast already, and we're only just getting going. But I went to meet a few more Santa fanatics. At a specialist school in East London, Joseph Clark School caters for the needs of children whose primary disability is visual impairment. But many of the pupils there have multiple disabilities. I went into Miss Wilson's classroom and spoke to the students from Zeus class and Rosen class.
My name is Reese and I'm 9 years old.
My name is Jamie and I'm 8 years old.
My name is Kevin and I'm 9 years old
My name is Nayram and I'm 9 years old.
My name is Sammy, I'm 10 years old.
My name is Kira and I'm 11 years old.
Who here likes Christmas?
Me! Me.
Reese, can you tell me what your favourite thing about Christmas is?
Opening presents and the Christmas dinner.
Christmas dinner?
And listening to Christmas music.
And what's your favourite food at Christmas dinner?
Turkey with cranberry sauce.
Turkey.
And Shaney, turkey with apple sauce.
Kevin, what's your favourite thing about Christmas?
Well, I actually love eating Christmas dinner and I love spending time with my family.
Sam, what does Father Christmas leave you at the end of your bed?
A stocking. I open my I get out of bed, I get dressed in my nice Christmas T-shirt and then I have breakfast and then I open my presents after I eat breakfast.
Sam, what is this Christmas T-shirt?
It's one where you, move or something, walk, and it flashes.
And what's it got on it?
Reindeers.
That sounds like the best T-shirt I've ever...
And their noses flash.
And their noses flash?
Right.
Reese, what have you asked Father Christmas for this year?
A Darth Vader voice changer.
Wow.
A pin art board.
Wow.
A Gooey Louie. A toy cookie monster with, a set of cookies that you can feed him.
And how did you ask Father Christmas for these things?
A toy generator.
Wow!
How did you ask Father Christmas?
I spoke to my parents what I wanted from him.
Do they tell him?
No. Santa will be listening what I said. I wanted.
Kevin, how did you ask Father Christmas for presents?
I don't really... I don't ask yet until it's, the 1st of December. But I actually just braille a letter.
You braille a letter?
Yeah.
Does Father Christmas read braille?
Yes.
He doesn't.
I think he knows every language in the world, so he'll definitely know braille, won't he?
Even French.
What are you doing at school to celebrate Christmas?
This party where you go to secondary school and
it's this school
you have a party there.
There's even a Santa's grotto.
And who goes to this party?
They're the big secondary children who look after us for the party.
And the person who's going to be here is the one with the big belly.
The one with the big belly? What, me? I've got a big belly.
No.
Am I going to be at the party? Just hold on a second.
Merry Christmas!
Are you saying that for actual Father Christmas is going to be at your party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And he's in the grotto there.
He was brown last time.
Whoa. Other than than this amazing party, what are you doing at school?
A concert.
You don't want
that. And what are you doing in the concert?
We're singing Christmas songs.
What's your favourite Christmas song to sing at the concert?
I like Way in a Manger.
Do we all know how Am I in a Manger goes, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Why don't we have a sing now? Should we try it now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, a little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
That was amazing.
If there's something that just gets you in the Christmas mood, it's young children singing that, isn't it?
Goodness
me. That was lovely.
anyway, I think
it's like Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really feels like Christmas.
Is it time for Christmas dinner, Simon?
Oh, yes, is it?
How many vegetarians at the table? Put your hands up.
I think we've got, veggie, two. One vegan.
So for my Christmas dinner spread, I mean, it's only the best Christmas sandwiches for everyone.
I have a sort of slightly weird but awkward question. Disability-wise and Christmas and stuff, have you ever got, like, a present from someone that is actually then related to your disability?
I've requested, actually, a disability-related gift this
year. Oh, you've asked for one?
I have,
yeah. What is it?
It's a T-shirt with Drop It Like It's Pots written on it. And
nice.
I literally... Yes. I'm not a big slogan girl, but that... I literally nearly died with that.
Cool.
I thought it was literally
cool.
Hilarious.
Is that out and about generally, or have you asked for someone to get that made for you?
No, it is actually. It's on eBay.
Oh, wow.
Thinking about gifts at Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking to the younger generation around the table here. Would you guys prefer gifts that were disability related, that had some kind of link to a disability, or would you prefer gifts that have nothing to do with disability?
I wouldn't like necessarily having something that referred to a disability. Because for me, I wouldn't really want to have that present because
I am with you.
Yeah, because I don't see myself as having a disability that everybody needs to know about. Like, because it's as soon as anyone gets you something that's like something to do with a disability, everybody else sort of zones in on that and like makes it one of your weak spots.
And then you have to use it and show that it's really great.
You have to use it.
I can understand that.
I think disability-related things should be... They're the things that you have to have.
Yeah.
They shouldn't count for your Christmas present.
Yeah, they
shouldn't
count as Christmas present.
Right,
what
guys,
is your idea here, Kate?
I am going to blow your minds, OK?
Are you ready? How excited I keep getting. You just keep doing this to us.
I know, right? Right, hold on. OK. Now, I'm going to turn from a Christmas tree into Father Christmas right now, because I do have some presents. Sorry, older people at the table, Simon. There's nothing for you guys right now. But, Summer and Rubes, I need your opinions on these things.
This looks like a huge box, which has got minions, and it looks... Is it a sort of a model? You could make a minion out of it?
Yeah. Some Hot Wheels.
This is the best box of presents. Is this for us?
Not you.
That looks like a baby doll. No, Barbie
it's Barbie.
Doll.
Barbie.
Is it
it's pretty.
Bones of Barbies.
But this is my favourite.
Oh, I've got... That's a little... Oh,
that is the best thing ever.
Blue and yellow wheelchair.
I need to get one.
Not
so cool.
So it's a toy wheelchair.
Well, Summer, this is for you. If you want it, because it is disability related. Now, Summer, could you talk us through what we're seeing here?
It's like a bear in a wheelchair, and it's like a yellow and blue wheelchair.
I've got another one for Reuben.
Oh my
goodness.
He's already
said he's not into the bears, but this one reminded me of Reuben.
Oh.
Reuben, what does this look like? Can you tell us what this bear's disability would be?
Okay, this bear is actually a cool injured bear because it's got a bandage on the left side of this eye, and then it's got injured both of his legs.
What are these?
crutches to help the bear dash person to help walking.
That's a kind of street bear, though, isn't it? It's got jeans, yeah. It's got a black T-shirt. It's kind of quite cool and hip.
So what do we think about these disability-related bears?
On board.
Summer's on board, Reuben?
Totally.
Totally on board. OK, so our two young people are loving the bears. Chelsea?
I'm on board for these bears. I've actually seen these a lot online. I think they're absolutely awesome that they show disability. You can get a visual impairment bears and stuff like that. I think they're awesome. But not as a Christmas gift for a disabled person. I think they are good for in schools, for kids, for education. Because you've got to think, disabled people don't need to be sort of shown disabled bears. No. We get it. We're living it. It's awesome, though, for kids to have in, like, play school and to play with. And they can be like, oh, that's a normal thing. We've been playing with, like, bears and toys that have got a disability, and then we're going to grow up with people with disabilities. I think it's really cool.
I find it quite annoying because when I'm in my wheelchair, people stare at me a lot, and it sort of makes you feel on the edge.
Yeah, I feel your sister.
It's quite good for children that are able-bodied because then it, like, for the younger generation, because, like, the tiny ones, because then I think, actually, I've got a teddy that's in a wheelchair.
For sure, definitely. It's relatable, isn't it?
Yeah.
And even though you might be getting a little bit old for bears, if you were younger, do you think you'd have got them out to play with them with your friends?
Probably.
And Rubes, would you get old bear out to play with your friends when you were younger?
I think when I'm older, I can teach people... I can teach people from the educational things, like... blind people or maybe different things.
So when you're older, you think you can use the bears to help teach younger people about disabilities? That is such a good idea.
Although, again, shouldn't count against your Christmas present quota. It should be an educational thing.
OK, that's so all saying. Right, so you're
for
saying...
sure. That's what we're...
Fine. Well, I mean... you're saying I can't give them as Christmas presents. I've just given them as Christmas presents, Simon. And now you're telling me I can't give them as Christmas presents.
I told you months ago and you just ignored me. You said I'm doing my own thing.
I am doing my own thing this time, Simon. Because, you know, left to you, nobody gets any presents.
This is so realistic, isn't it?
It's like
we're starting to get slightly grumpy
over Christmas dinner.
We're tired, we've had too much to eat.
But are there any boy-related Christmas presents that have a disability angle to them? Because I have to admit, I went out searching for boy-related presents. I mean, for presents that had any disability angle, we really struggled. And specifically for boys, if it's not a teddy bear, which is slightly unisex, but... veering on the girl side. What about boys?
Playmobil do little characters that have got a disability.
Do they?
Yeah, I noticed it online a little while ago. I retweeted it. I was so happy to see it. Yeah, they do a couple of disabled people. For little kids, I might have got the name wrong. I think they're called Little People. They've got a lovely diverse mix of people from older people, different ethnicities. It's lovely. And obviously it's disabled people as well.
I was given this summer by some friends a little doll. And the little doll was the Peter Dinklage character in Game of Thrones. Cool. It could be the single best present I've ever had. It's so cool. It's so cool to actually have a real-life doll made of short people like me. Fabulous. Really cool.
That is very cool.
Not at part of my Christmas quota, though. It's just got one going back to
like Lego as well, and you can make the Lego hospital. Like, they've got, the little Lego people, and you can change them around and things like that. They've got, amputees and things like that in the hospital, and it's really cool. Really, really cool.
Laura, you're looking surprised. Are there, I know you're new to the diagnosis, but are there autism-type related presents? Have you ever come across anything like that?
No, but I guess that the kind of the thing that many autistic people feel, and I definitely feel, is that we don't like surprises. So so any Christmas present needs to be, for me, any Christmas present needs to be flagged up many months in advance. So I can't really think of anything. Although, having said that, I would quite like some noise-cancelling headphones, which would be very nice for sensory issues when I'm out. And a kind of helpful aid, but aren't necessarily strictly... and disability present.
Mm-hmm. A dual purpose, you know.
A dual purpose, yeah, definitely.
I've got a friend who has them, they're bright pink, and she can't deal with, really loud noises. So she wears them in class and things like that, because the classes are really, really loud. And they sort of zone out everybody else's, voices, and she can get on with their work. It has improved her work so much from last year.
Very cool.
Yeah. Amazing.
In the piece, Sam mentions his sort of flashing Rudolph T-shirt. So I'm checking with our guests. Any particular pieces of Christmas attire or clothing that you always have to wear?
If I'm not doing anything on Christmas Day, I stay in my Christmas pyjamas.
I always have new Christmas pyjamas for Christmas Eve.
I have double them. Double them.
You have to. It's a law. The actual law.
Yeah.
So what, Chelsea, what are we all going to be wearing? What's the hot thing at Christmas? I don't know why I'm asking this question.
I think Christmas jumpers are an absolute must, and they need to be literally as tacky as possible. That is the way to go.
It's gone from kind of uncool to very cool now. It's because the further you go.
Absolutely.
Christmas dresses are the new thing at the moment as well.
They can be, yeah, definitely going obviously with the seasonal colours and vibes. Anything that's glittery or red. Christmas is that time where you can do tacky and get away with it.
You're doing some lobbying at the moment, as I understand it, and you've sort of set up a petition. What's that about?
Yeah, it's all getting very technical. We thought the best way to do this now, because I'm like 3.5 years into campaigning for disability rights in fashion, we thought, let's just go for the government. Let's go for a government. Let's do it all properly now. We've tried to, you know, ask the brands and stuff like that and go through that route. But sadly, if they're not being kind of pushed, and they're not being, obviously, at the moment, then they just simply won't do it. They're sort of just stuck in a little bit of a rut, really. So, yeah, we launched a government petition actually at Parliament, which was fantastic, and I'm going back there this week to do a big talk.
And what's the sort of, if I was to find that petition, what is it saying? What are you asking for specifically?
Literally, if you chuck into Google 1 in 6 disabled models, that petition will flag up. Yeah, the petition is literally asking for 1 in 6 models who are employed to have a disability, because it's obviously 1 in 6 people in the UK have a disability. We're not asking for anything that we don't deserve. We're being really nice and fair.
I've sort of seen over the years there's sort of different campaigns and people do try it and then it just sort of drops back a bit. So is that part of what you're saying, is that people, maybe one shop will do it for a little while, but there's not this continuity? It's not...
No, you've hit the nail on the head with the continuity, and that's what this petition's about. At Models of Diversity, we don't back anything that's tokenistic or this sort of real people thing. To be honest, that's the opposite. We think that's really damaging to the main cause. We want to just have it as that horrible word of just normal, a very normal thing, mainstream fashion incorporating disability, and not even like disability as such, just employing people with a disability. So it just so happens there may be a disabled person in an advert, or you might be looking for a catalogue, or just online doing a bit of online shopping and there might be someone with a disability there.
Why do you think it's important?
I think it's massively important because obviously just chatting with you guys, Summer was just perfect certain person, really. She was just saying how much she loves fashion. If Summer was to, you know, be just doing a bit of shopping online, she's not going to see herself anywhere. And I think for people that are young, even for, you know, I'm 25 in January, I'm not necessarily in a young teenage demographic, but it's so damaging not seeing yourself represented, because as soon as you don't see yourself, you think there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm. Summer, does it matter to you? Do you want to see more models with disabilities?
Yeah, I do, because it's like, you know, when you look on websites, for example, Polyvore, there's all these models who look like a normal everyday person, and you sort of feel like no other like brand name or like shop is going to employ you because you have a disability. And it's sort of a little bit off-putting to buy clothes online because you don't feel like you have that sort of right to, when everybody else who's normal is on the internet looking pretty much amazing, contouring their face. It sort of makes you feel... Well, it makes me feel, and I know it makes a lot of other people feel, people don't want you, and you sort of like, not through saying it, but by showing it, that actually, no, you're not needed because we have other able-bodied people that can do this just fine.
So do you think it stops you buying clothes because you can't see them modelled by somebody?
Yeah.
Ruben, you're a bit of a trailblazer yourself, because there hasn't been somebody with Down syndrome on a CBBC show like The Dumping Ground before. Do you like being on television?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's the best thing about it?
I made some new friends in The Dumping Ground, so it's actually real, real nice. If you speak to one, like my friend. It's such a good idea.
So you're having a lot of fun on the dumping ground?
Yeah.
Do you find? Do you think it's time for a cracker?
Oh,
time for another cracker.
Definitely time for a cracker. I think it's Laura's turn to pull her cracker. Laura, do you want to have a go with Chelsea?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey. Blimey. Those were made out of something, eh?
Yeah.
They're very strong. Oh, we've got a quiz question.
We have. Which CBeebies presenter has a disability and has recently written a children's book?
Oh, I do.
Oh, I know that one.
I know that one.
This is very popular.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Go on, Reuben. Summer's had a go.
This is Jacqueline Wilson.
Oh, you're so close. She has written lots of children's books. And also, to be honest, she also has a disability because she had a kidney transplant last year, but she is not a CBeebies presenter.
Oh, my God.
So, two out of three.
Did Chelsea know?
I'm trying to think of what her actual name is, but...
Is she the one that had the car accident and she's only got one arm?
Yes, that's right.
This is like real Christmas, isn't it? We're all going, I know it. Yeah. I can't remember it. This is just like Christmas.
I just can't remember her name. That's so
Neither. It's Kerry Burnell.
Kerry Burnell. Did you all know that?
Of course.
You're looking at me as though you've never heard of her. Was she a presenter on CBeebies?
She is a CBeebies presenter who has just written a book, and she has, someone rightly says, she had a part of her arm amputated. Chelsea, how about we pull your cracker?
You and me.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, cool. Oh,
there we go.
Looking here. Name five pieces of specialist equipment you might find in a disability catalogue.
Ooh, I think we can all name some. Go on then, Summer, go for one.
Hand splint.
Hand splints, my trusty friends every night in my arms.
Mine too.
Yeah, it's the best thing. Reuben, can you think of any disability equipment?
Crutches.
Ding, crutches. Simon, your turn.
Yeah, this is the grimmest Christmas quiz question ever, isn't it? what about walking stick?
Walking stick.
Oh, great.
Very good.
So
Laura?
What, three down, two more to go, yeah?
Wheelchair?
Oh. Wheelchair, very good.
Very good.
I'm trying to think of something that's maybe a little bit different. Do you know I actually spotted there's a special bag you can get for a wheelchair?
Ooh.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's like a pouch. Let's call it a pouch. It hangs on where your armrest is. So you put your phone in there.
Yeah.
Great.
Cheeky, maybe like some sweets.
You know what I want? I want a drinks holder.
Drinks holder is everything.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
I really need one of those.
I want like a specially designed selfie stick which pops sort of out of where my kind of feet are on my wheelchair.
I mean, so Chelsea, can I say that I've never known anyone take so many selfies in this studio in such a short amount of time.
Do you know what? I'm actually not the biggest selfie taker, but I love atmospheric selfies, if that makes any
sense.
And you've gone to all this lovely effort. There are lights.
There are lights.
There's bits of tinsel. There's caps. And that's, I'm all over it. All over it.
So it's just in certain situations.
Yeah,
you've got to have the selfies.
I'm not one of these sort of people that takes about 70. Don't look at my iPad.
We're now gradually embarrassing our Christmas guests.
that's how it happens in the Christmas dinner.
It's going to get all very awkward later on, everybody.
Right, Simon, why don't you pull one of your crackers?
Do I pull it with you, Kate?
Let's do it.
Fine. Ready?
Ready.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that was very kind of
you.
I'm handing it over to you.
That was for you.
We get hats again. And then there's the question. There's no gift, I notice. This question is aimed for everybody. Slightly inappropriate. I think we've had too much Christmas sherry. is you've got to do your best impression of Stephen Hawking.
Oh, that's a bit un-PC, Simon. What are you doing asking that question?
I'd be able to do it.
Okay. Are you going for it, Summer, did you say?
No.
Does anyone want to go for it?
Everyone's shaking their
head. I don't think anyone can boss it like Stephen Hawking, let's face it.
Or your mobile phone.
I was going to try it on my phone.
Do you know Stephen Hawking?
It's very deep, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you do it? I can do a face.
Oh, so
that's what he does do, though! That's his face entirely!
Reuben has got that down to a T!
As well as that, you even had the finger movement. You were typing something.
He was typing it already.
So you had everything except for the voice. So,
I like when he says about on Big Bang Theory when Sheldon faints and he's like, in his really deep voice, he's like, oh no, a fainter, like that, isn't it?
Do that again, that was our first impression.
I can't because it's the worst, it's the worst.
I feel like everyone's a bit worried about being un-PC.
No, I think it's just a really hard thing to do. If I stood a chance, I'm not worried about... Go on, Kate, give it a go.
The universe is made up of 8 million stars.
That's slightly Doctor Who-ish, though.
Oh,
speaks like that?
Yeah.
Doctor Who.
It was a bit Dalek.
No one can do it like Stephen. I'd have him over mine, I would.
You could go and eat at Madame Tussauds because they've got like a Stephen Hawking's little thing and you could go and sit here.
Oh my God.
Who would be at your Christmas dinner, Laura, if you could have anyone at your Christmas dinner other than us amazing people
around
the table?
All, of course. That's really hard. Maybe Nigella Lawson, because then she could do the cooking.
Oh, and I love Nigella. Do you know, she's one of those women where I'm a bit like, oh, she's beautiful, she is. I'm not sure how my feelings are going. Yeah.
Makes definitely. You a bit confused.
Yeah, for sure.
Jennifer Lawrence. Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Ruben?
I get
David Tennant.
Yeah.
David Tennant.
He stands for, I think, be fun for Christmas.
Yeah. Now, Laura, we mentioned at the top of the show, you run your own public relations company, and you were very recently diagnosed as having autism at the age of 46. I hope you don't mind me.
See, that's the bit I find difficult. I don't mind talking about the autism. It's the age thing every time.
But looking back, do you think you've always displayed the sort of autistic traits?
I've always had characteristics. And I've been very lucky that I have managed to adapt my life very carefully around.
What are those characteristics? Because just sort of having a conversation with you, it's not immediately obvious you're able to hold the traits that I guess I would perceive as being sort of classic autistic traits. You're able to hold eye contact. You have a very nice manner. What are the characteristics that your autism presents?
Okay, so I do think it is different in girls and boys. And I think when we think about autism, we think about boys. And so therefore, we do think about the lack of eye contact and things like that. So my issues are I have a lot of sensory issues. So I can't bear a lot of noise. I can't bear bright lights. I can't bear smells. There are food textures that I just can't stand. As somebody put it the other day, I performed surgery on all my food. So you'll see my little Christmas dinner here is a little kind of lots of bits left over. And I have issues in social situations. So I'm mainly a journalist and author, but I do also run a PR agency. And I'm completely fine doing that because it's work. So there's a kind of set structure and nothing unexpected is going to happen. And so this kind of very lovely Christmas lunch is great, but it is also within a kind of radio studio, which I'm very, very used to. And it's very structured. If I did suddenly land at one of your houses for Christmas lunch, that's when I would be very different. I would be kind of sort of in the corner or in the kitchen doing washing up or something.
Mm. And you've had quite an interesting journey. I mean, as we've said that in terms of until the final diagnosis, but sort of jumping around job to jobs, wrong medication and so on when you were a lot younger.
So I did have, before I became a writer, I did have jobs, but they lasted mornings. You know, I would go into a company, work for the morning. They'd say, right, you can go out for lunch now. And I'd just think, right, that's it. I'm not going back. I really, really, I struggled in an office environment and I struggle when things aren't completely logical. And when they don't make sense to me, I have a bit of a theory that POTS gets very, very bad when you're kind of in your early to mid-20s. I think that's when it really seems to really hit girls.
It's when mine suddenly come on. I mean, I was completely never had anything wrong.
So I don't think I really had it before, but I was in my very, very early 20s and I suddenly had all these symptoms that they just wrote off as, they started off saying I was anxious, which I never really thought I was. I never thought I had classic anxiety. And throughout my whole life, they said I was anxious, even though I could kind of go and interview celebrities at the drop of a hat. You know, I do that every week. But they said it was anxiety. Then my POTS got misdiagnosed as hyperventilation syndrome, which I'm not really sure that even still exists. But it was a thing where they said that you kind of overbreathe. And they prescribed me with tranquilizers, which they didn't tell me were tranquilizers. And I was 20 at the time and I probably wouldn't have asked. So I ended up in rehab for 3 months, coming off them.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you just take them as you prescribed? Or was there a point where you... But then you had the addiction because you were taking them just prescribed and you had to stop taking them.
I didn't take them in any way other than was prescribed. I think it was two pills a day. But I became pregnant with my second child. And when my new obstetrician found out that I was taking these pills, he had a bit of a kind of panic because obviously you can't give birth to a baby when taking hardcore tranquilizers. Mm. So I had to stop taking them before I gave birth to her for a few days and have her induced, which was hideous because it's a kind of major addiction. And then very soon after I had her, I went into rehab.
And you mentioned a bit earlier the kind of sometimes when it can get a bit too much, and I think that was the word meltdown, or was that what you would... Now, this is a really crass question, but how would I know what sort of typically happens when you're... Or are you aware of what happens?
Yeah, no, I am completely aware of what happens. So I think that this is another thing that's very different with girls. I think girls are very conditioned generally in society to behave in a certain way. More, I think, in some respects than boys. I think we are all told that we should behave like a young lady and kind of be very nice and stuff. So my actual really tantrumy meltdowns, they were managed out of me when I was fairly young. So my meltdowns now would be mainly over food. So if I go to a restaurant that I go to all the time and I expect to have whatever it is I expect to order on the menu, if for some reason it's not on the menu, then I will just become completely overwhelmed and will not be able to think of something else to have. And I'll kind of, not exactly panic about it, but just get just very upset about it, like overly upset in a way that most people would think was quite weird. And I might get a tiny bit tearful, but in that kind of angry tearful rather than tearful, tearful. And I might snap at waitresses, which makes me feel really guilty because I just feel so overwhelmed by this kind of situation that I can't manage because it's not gone to plan.
And there's, I mean, I heard something on the radio, curiously, coming to the studio today, and they were talking to a woman with autism, and she was saying the worst thing people can do is sort of say, oh, I get that. I hate it when I go to a restaurant, they haven't got what I wanted, and it's really frustrating. Because presumably when you're having something, this is really quite acute. This is not us going, oh, this is really disappointing. There is just a greater level of what's going on, how you're thinking about this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind so much when people say things like that. I mind it when people say, oh, it's just really fashionable to be autistic at the moment. That really annoys me.
Oh, gosh.
Didn't I say that earlier?
Did you say that earlier?
I think there's a lot of people use it as a throwaway line.
And I think people use it to describe somebody who possibly isn't autistic. I think people very often use it to describe somebody who's doing something that's slightly irritating to them. And that doesn't bother me so much as people who kind of minimise it. So people who say, oh, I don't know why you bothered to go out and get a label, you know, what was the point? Or, oh, it's just fashionable, everyone's got something.
Well, what has it been like since you've had that label, that diagnosis? How's life changed for you?
Most importantly, it's given me a community of people who are like me. So, I've met lots of people on autism groups on Facebook. And that's just brilliant because for the first time in my life, I've identified people who are exactly like me. So I joined the POTS groups and the EDS groups and they were great. And I met people who had similar problems to me and similar experiences. But on the autism groups, I'm meeting people who are, it's like meeting myself. And that's really amazing.
You're listening to the Christmas Ouch Talk Show. And now seems the perfect time to have a little bit more and hear from the kids from the Joseph Clark School.
Are you going to be making things? Do you like to make cards for your mum's
and
dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin, what do you like to make?
We braille cards and we do it in print as well.
So do you print and braille at the same time?
Yeah.
Shani, what about you?
I like making decorations.
What kind of decorations? What about a star for the top of the tree?
I didn't put a star, I put an angel.
Oh, an angel. Would you make an angel?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what would it look like?
It would look kind of like Reese, but without the short hair.
Reese, would you like Shani to make an angel that looked like you for the top of the tree?
Yeah.
Reese, maybe you could start this one.
Yeah.
Reese, what does Christmas mean to you?
Spending time with my family and opening presents and kisses and hugs and, and you know, listening to Christmas songs. That's the beauty of Christmas. Beauty?
Brilliant.
Christmas is beautiful. Okay.
Shani, why do we celebrate Christmas?
It's all about getting together.
Kevin, what does Christmas mean to you?
Well, to me, it's like we celebrate Christmas because of Jesus' birth, the day when he was born.
Who can remember what the reindeer
is? I know one.
So, right, we've got a lovely hand up from Kira. Kira, what can you name one of the reindeer?
Rudolph.
Oh, Kira said my one.
I can remember Not Jacqueline. I don't think that's one of them.
Christopher.
Don't think it's Christopher.
Winnie the Pooh.
I know all of them.
Dancer. Plancer.
Dasher.
Dasher, yeah. What was the other one?
It's Donna and Blitzen.
Donna, Blitzen and Kate.
Donna, Blitzen and Kate. I mean, is there a bigger honour than having a reindeer named after you?
And the lovely thing is your nose has gone a little bit red.
They were all so great. Thank you so much to everyone at Joseph Clark School, especially Miss Wilson, Reese, Shaney, Kevin, Mayrim, Sam and Kira. Oh, they were just brilliant.
Joy.
Total joy. However, I do think it's time for another cracker, and I think it's my turn to pull a cracker this time.
Yay.
Surely. Right,
the
let me see.
With the mostest.
Exactly. The hostess can pull the cracker. Shall I go for Chelsea or Simon?
Chelsea can
all
go
right.
for it.
Yeah. Come on then, Chelsea.
Let's do it.
Let's pull our cracker. Whoa.
Oh, crikey. They have got some gumption.
They have, yeah. Okay. Here's a political question.
Oh, edgy.
For us all. Oh. Yeah.
David Cameron.
Let's go, Benny.
Maybe, let's see. Which well-known American business and political public figure found himself in hot water recently and why?
Oh.
First question I've ever known.
Okay, look, I think we should give Laura the chance to answer because it is her first one.
And then my children won't think I'm quite so thick. And is it Donald Trump?
It is Donald Trump. And can you remember what he
is
did?
Is it for mocking somebody, a journalist with a disability who was interviewing him?
Yes.
I think that's where we all learn that you've got to be careful when you're doing impressions of disabled people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, we all did it earlier. Are we any better than Donald Trump? I'm not 100% sure.
We have better hair, all of us.
Do you know what I think that we are? And this isn't me being kind of the pot-kettle black person, but Donald Trump was being derogatory, vile, but we... You know, we have a disability and it's that kind of thing of it's just a bit of banter. You know, Stephen Hawking is the sort of person as well that takes the mick out of himself. So it's all good. It's all gravy.
We're off the hook.
Simon, were you annoyed when you saw the Trump mishap slip up?
I read about it first and I saw it on Twitter, I think, and I thought, oh, no. And I actually, there was a bit of me that smiled. I thought this is absurd. When I actually did see what he did... Mm. I was mixed. There was partly that was pretty gross how he did it, and it really is a definite pop. But there was also a little bit of it. Oh, I'm just going to get myself in trouble. I don't think he was deliberately trying to be nasty to the guy. He was just trying to do an impression and forgot how crass and horrible that was.
Yeah, so, he's offensive to everybody. I don't think it's something that's particularly directed at, you know, at people that are disabled. He doesn't want anyone that... Well, to be honest, he doesn't like anyone unless you're like...
A millionaire.
Very white, very like...
Yeah. There was that South Park argument where they just are offensive to everybody. But they know that they're doing it. Maybe Trump didn't realise that he was being offensive, which is a bit worrying. It has been so much fun having all of you over for our Christmas dinner.
I think it's time. Oh. I think Doctor Who's about to start on telly, so that means the end of dinner and Christmas.
It
means everyone can leave so I can watch Doctor Who.
And wash
Doctor
up,
Who.
Yeah? We'll leave that to you.
No. You do that while I'm watching Doctor Who.
Saturday, not Sunday.
Now, a heartfelt thanks to Summer, Ruben, Chelsea J and Laura James.
And our apologies to Sam and Ruben's parents. We've injected them with so much Christmas excitement a little bit earlier on. So we apologise to you.
Don't apologise for giving anyone Christmas excitement.
Enjoy the fun.
I will apologise to my wife, who's going to have to deal with me for the rest of December like this.
Yeah.
Now, remember to tweet us at BBC Ouch. We do love getting your emails to ouch@bbc.co.uk. Thanks as ever to you, Mr Simon Minty.
Thank you, Kate.
And also thank you to studio manager Richard Andrews, Damon Rose, Lucy Townsend and our producer, this time, Lee Kumatat.
And to sing us out, here again are the students from the classes Zeus and Rosen at Joseph Clark School with We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Goodbye.
We